The first thing I wanted to say was that I'm a supporter of privatization. I'm also a believer in value pricing and tolls pricing, having served as the president and CEO of the largest toll authority in the world, the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority, which produces about $1.2 billion a year worth of toll revenue in the New York City area. But there are some things about this system. I used to have a saying for some of my staff that facts won't set you free, but they sometimes help. And part of understanding this issue about both privatization and revenue flow, it's important to understand a couple of key characteristics of the nation's highway system. One of the ways that we measure highways is the center lane mile, not the number of lane miles, but the center lane miles of highway in the United States. Anybody want to take a quick guess at the total number of highway miles in the United States? 4 million center lane miles. Anybody want to take a guess at the split between urban and rural? 3,100,000 rural miles of highway. That leaves 888,000 urban miles, and urban in this definition from the Federal Highway Administration and Census is a town of above 5,000 population, according to census, or a region with a population of more than, a collective urban region of more than 50,000 population. So that's every place in America that we think of as a city or a town. Of the total miles in the United States, 44,000 of those miles are interstate. And of those interstate miles, about 20,000 could have, by one factor or another, are totally rural. Another 10,000 miles have some serviceability between urban areas or in urban areas in the United States. If you think about then how miles of travel are broken up within the highway system. Vehicle miles of travel, which is all travel, automobiles, buses, trucks, everything that moves on a highway. There are 2.7 trillion vehicle miles of travel. This is, again, FHWA, and this is 2001 data, which is the most current that I could find about total travel. 2,799,000,000,000 vehicle miles of travel in the United States in 2001. 1.1 trillion of that was rural travel. 1.6 of that, 1.6 trillion of vehicle miles of travel was on urban roads. So that it's roughly 40% of travel is rural in America and 60% is urban. If you think about where the money comes from for roads in America, anybody want to guess what percent of road revenues comes from gasoline taxes? Total, state, and national. 34.8%, this is again 2001 highway data. That includes all revenues, and the total amount spent on highways in the United States by governments, federal, state, city, county, township, is $132,874,000,000 a year in 2001. Tolls of that revenue was less than $6 billion of the $132 million, and $1 billion of that six was from the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority in New York. The remainder of the funds for supporting highways in America comes from property taxes, 4.8, other taxes and fees, 5.6%, investment income and other receipts, 5.8%, bond issue proceeds, 9.5%, and general fund appropriations, 15.5% of the total amount, or some $25 billion a year. Thinking about road pricing means having to grapple with some issues that we're not being very crisp about. Crispness is taking a look at what is going to be displaced and how you actually price roads about their total cost, not just substituting for the gas tax revenues around certain corridors. So it's important to keep in mind the fact that just over 55% of the road financing in America comes from gas taxes, and the rest of it comes from other general fund taxes. And that's a choice that we made over the last century for a variety of reasons. One of the things that struck me about the issue around toll roads and the last century and why they died out, if you think about maybe 25,000 miles total over all time in the United States about toll roads, and then having 4 million miles of road in the United States, the opening of the American frontier, the expansion during the Industrial Revolution, the need to have farm-to-market movement of goods, the struggle for America to become competitive in a global marketplace through the Industrial Revolution meant that we invested a lot of public funding in roads at all levels because it was just an absolute necessity to have the plant and infrastructure to be the industrial dominant country that we became. And we did that with mixed funding. Tolling and pricing fits within that mixed funding, but it is not a panacea. And the order of magnitude of need in this environment is so overwhelming that it is easy to get lost about this being a quick and easy solution. Roughly speaking, if there is $132 billion going into road funding, most folks say that that is underfunded by about $50 billion a year, roughly, if you're going to account for depreciation, population growth, and economic growth in the United States. So we already have $132 billion. We need $182 billion. Let's look at an assumption that over the next 15 years, we could double the contribution that tolling and road pricing makes to highway funding. It would be 8% of the total amount, and we could probably get to $10 to $12 billion a year worth of road pricing for filling this void that we are creating by not funding our road networks. Current funding is becoming much more difficult because the gas tax proceeds, according to CBO, if you just look at gasoline tax and not the excise tax proceeds, are stagnant to slightly declining right now. That means that our capacity to even fund the existing highway program at the national level is running out of gas. If you look at the largest change in state and local revenue going into financing highways, anybody want to guess which category of funding is the fastest growing over the last 5 years? Nope, debt. A 93% increase in debt at the state and local level over the last 5 years, which means that nobody's actually biting the bullet about funding this gargantuan asset, this physical plant asset that we've got. We're mixing a bit apples and oranges here. We're talking about road pricing and public-private partnerships without being crisp about what the purpose is, the public purpose. We're not being crisp about how limited at times that can be about the going forward over our generation about funding this asset, although it is important, and in some markets it may be critically important. And we're also being a little fuzzy about another issue that was touched on a couple of times, and that is the ability to have congestion pricing be a realistic solution to congestion. The London experience about road pricing for congestion management purposes showed that you can get about a 25, in some cases up to 30% increase in flow of vehicles and goods through London as a result of the pricing. Anybody want to take a guess about how many urban areas it would take to add up to 80% of the congestion currently experienced in America? Fifteen urban areas in the United States account for just about 80% of the congestion in the United States, and that's people and goods. And it's a drag on the American economy, it's a drag on air quality, it's a drag on energy consumption. We're not properly pricing that access. We're reluctant to tackle this because it's only 15 areas, and my God, you've got to spread this stuff around if you're going to have a politically viable agenda in the House and the Senate. We're not there yet about being really focused about one of the most powerful tools about dealing with congestion, and that is road pricing. The other is that there is an internal set of subsidies that have been going on about the road program for all of our lifetime. And it's a legitimate set of subsidies, but hardly anybody talks about it except in terms of donor and donee contributions to the Highway Trust Fund. It has all of our investments from the very beginning of our expansion westward have been about national needs. After all, this is supposed to be the United States of America. Those investments were supposed to be about expanding the financial and business and mobility capacities of the United States. We recognize that urban areas often subsidize through revenue the access in rural areas. We often recognize that gas taxes created in urban areas go to rural areas for a whole variety of reasons that make a lot of economic sense. Farm to market, movement of goods, movement of people, access to resources, timber, coal, everything we need in America has to travel someplace, and we have always been able to rationalize those. Road pricing, without some recognition of the internal subsidies, will be a limited marketplace unless we recognize those internal subsidies about urban and rural as legitimate, and that is, as well, urban states versus rural states as being legitimate, and that capturing within a corridor all of the economic value of that corridor potentially means, in places like downstate Indiana at times, the concern about, hey, we're still down here. What about us? And the fear of being left behind. Those are government functions, and that means that this set of decisions is always going to be legitimately embedded in the political process. There's a WAG who made the comment in the Chicago Tribune that it wasn't exactly a profile in courage for the city of Chicago to sell the Skyway when 80% of the users are citizens of the state of Indiana. It wasn't that difficult for the state of Indiana to sell the Indiana Toll Road when 60% of the revenue came from out-of-staters. And those potential targets are very low-hanging fruit. This whole issue needs a better set of rationalization. It needs a better structure for internal equity. It needs a better rationalization if you're going to price for congestion and road pricing, what the alternative investments are that do not force people out of the system or don't leave you defending a regressive pricing structure that has no alternatives because it will become very politically difficult to implement. One of the things that they learned in London was they had to create alternatives for the 20% of the people in London who abandoned going into central London by car every day. You couldn't go by car. You had to go some way. They had to link that with transit access in order to have congestion pricing actually work. They could do that because they had a specific purpose beyond simply pricing. They had congestion reduction, or in some cases, economic survivability of certain districts about the ability to receive commercial goods. The entire retail sector couldn't actually get access to downtown London during the course of a 18-hour day. The purpose part of this and its economic internal subsidies and social equity are critical parts of having a well-thought-out approach to road pricing, and I don't see it yet, but then it's early in this game. The next generation of political decisions, though, will depend on exactly that more nuanced framework. Thanks.